Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Hello, everybody. It's time for the Easy Organic Gardener. This is your host, Sherry Herrera de Fry, mom, composter, gardener, horticulturalist, biocontrol specialist, ecopreneur, worm and insect farmer, and Dr. Bug Lady. I'd like to extend a very warm welcome to all of you, and thank you for tuning in. I have a very special guest this hour. It's the amazing horticulturalist and author, Jessica Walliser. Before I ask Jessica to join me, I want to announce that our new Summer Pest Control edition of our catalog is now available. And if you haven't received your free copy, you can go online to www.arbico-organics.com, arbico-organics.com, and you can sign up to receive one there. You can also call in to 1-800-SOS-BUGS, 1-800-SOS-BUGS, if it's more convenient to place your order. For those of you who like e-versions, you can go to the Arbico Organics website and click on the catalog at the left top of the page, and you can view or download a copy. Take a look at the Arbico Organics Facebook page. We love it when you like us, and you can always follow me directly at drbuglady on Twitter. Now, I'm going to tell you about my brilliant guest. Jessica Walliser is a horticulturalist, author, and devoted bug lover. That's the best part about her. Anyway, like myself, she's most interested in stuff like slug sex and threatened ladybug species, as well as exotic pests like the Asian citrus psyllid and the bean platysbid. When she isn't writing about bugs and science for the Savvy Gardening blog, she's composing articles for Fine Gardening, Organic Gardening, Hobby Farms, and Urban Farm magazines. Jessica also writes two weekly columns for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, where she has the pleasure of covering a wide range of gardening topics. On the weekends, she hangs out with her husband and young son, speaks to garden groups, and co-hosts The Organic Gardeners, an award-winning program on KDKA Radio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Jessica has a degree in horticulture from the Pennsylvania State University and is the former owner of a 25-acre organic market farm. She's also the author of four gardening books, including her newest and most mind-altering title, Attracting Beneficial Bugs to Your Garden, A Natural Approach to Pest Control, and Good Bug, Bad Bug, Who's Who, What They Do and How to Manage Them Organically. You can visit her website for more information at www.jessicawalliser.com. That's JessicaWalliser.com. And now I'd like to ask Jessica to join me. Jessica, how are you today?
I'm great, Sherry. How are you?
You know, I couldn't be better. I'm so excited about your book. You know, I mean, we've talked about it on the last show that you were on with me, but, you know, what a better time, or what I should say is what there's no better time to be talking about attracting beneficial insects, especially with all the commotion that's being made, which I'm so grateful for, about pollinators and how important it is to give them a leg up and to boost them, because we're going to be in trouble without those pollinators, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, what surprises a lot of people is, you know, the European honeybee is getting, seems to be getting all the press anyway with colony collapse disorder. But the truth is that there are some 4,000 species of native pollinators in North America who do the lion's share of pollination. And their numbers are also in decline, but none of them are making the news, which is really a shame. But when we put in pollinator gardens, obviously they're not just supporting the European honeybees, they're supporting all these wonderful little native bees as well. And that, to me, is one of the best things that gardeners all across our country can do, is put in that pollinator habitat to really support these insects, because then in the end, we're the ones that benefit, because we get food to drink, food and drinks, and, you know, it's all good in the end.
I mean, it's really something, this whole idea, as you say, the European honeybee getting most of the press, and I can see why, because there's a whole industry that's centered around the bees and putting them in the boxes and having them be used for obvious pollination, but we don't think about the other beneficials that are just the natives that are out there doing so much work. I mean, flies, just good old fashioned flies. I mean, they do a lot of pollinating. So
they really do, and it's not just what we think of as, you know, a fly, but it's also things like, you know, the spirifit or hoverflies, which are so good at pollinating. But then in their larval stage, they go out and eat a lot of pests. So they're double good for the garden. Same thing with, like, cactus flies. As adults, they're good as pollinators. And then as larvae, they're using different pest insects as hosts for their developing young. So sometimes you get double good out of certain insects.
I like that. I like that, double good. So let's just, that sounds like an award-winning something, you know, like chewing gum, double good or something. But really, when you think about it, it pollinates and gets rid of pests. I mean, that is double good. So, quickly tell us, what have you been doing? We've got about 45 seconds before we have to go off, before we come back and really get into the heart of what we're going to talk about. But what have you been up to? My gosh, you've been so busy.
It's crazy. But, you know, I've been enjoying going out into the garden and photographing all of the great little insects I find there. And people can follow me on Facebook and Twitter, just at Jessica Walliser, and see some of the great little pictures of the insects that I find in my garden that I put up. And, of course, it is the season for canning and processing and preserving your harvest. So I've also been busy pickling and baking tomato sauce and all of that good kind of stuff, too. So it's been a busy year in the garden.
So, okay, I looked at the clock wrong. We actually have two more minutes. I can't believe it. Okay, I've been doing the show for 8 years. You know, once in a while I get blurry vision. So anyway, but, you know, I this is the time when, you know, when we get to can, when we get to begin to, well, depending on where we're at, reaping the harvest. Of course, here in Arizona, we've been sort of doing that for a while. And we're now looking at fall gardening already. Yet, you know, I mean, in your neck of the woods, this is when it's at its zenith, no?
Exactly. I mean, I'm in Pennsylvania, and this is, the tomatoes have just started ripening. We're a couple of weeks behind because we had a really wet, rainy, cool spring. So the fungal issues are particularly bad this year here in the east because of how much moisture we've had in the air. And all of a sudden now, within the past couple of weeks, we've gotten really dry. So we keep telling everybody, you know, in your tomatoes and peppers, you know, watch out for that blossom end rot, because when we have a lot of wet followed by an extended period of dryness, that's when we start to see issues like that crop up as well. So, it makes for an interesting radio show for me, because we take callers' questions and we get to hear about all kinds of interesting things with fungal issues in a year like this one. So it keeps you on your toes for sure.
That blossom and rot, it'll really do some destruction. And the other thing is, now in that part of the world, it's so darn hot. I mean, I was just in Boston 4 days ago, and I was expecting reprieve from Arizona weather, and it felt like it was the same. That whole area is getting from one extreme to the next.
Yeah, it's been about 90 to 95 for the past week or so here, with really high humidity. Now, today the humidity isn't so bad, but again, you know, when you get those high temperatures, that humidity, it stresses out your plants. And so we're telling people now, really, you know, especially if you're a container gardener, really go out and make sure that you're soaking those containers on a regular basis, because you don't want them to be under stress, which can affect their flowering and their yield, obviously. So there's always things to think about with gardening, but when it's weather like this, there's extra to think about.
Well, you know, that's the beauty of gardening, that you never end. There's always something else to do, and that's the thing that keeps us going, because growing is what it's all about. We're going to take that quick little break now. For those of you who are listening, don't go away, because we're going to get into some really interesting things about why insects are so fascinating. You bug lovers, hang with us. We're coming right back.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe that's your only option. They've got hordes of salesmen out there trying to scare you into signing one of their long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month with no way out. It's robbery by contract, and it can cost you thousands. But there's a better way to protect your home. SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe has no contracts. None. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection. Security professionals watching over your home, ready to instantly send police to the rescue. For just $14.99 per month. That's less than half what most companies charge. Protect your home the smart way. Visit SimpliSafeDefense.com today for an exclusive 10% offer and get a free keychain remote worth $25. Only when you go to SimpliSafeDefense.com. SimpliSafeDefense.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while. Even very smart, very accomplished people. It's part of being human. A quote taken out of context, a legal problem, an unfortunate photograph. Once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Because people love to dig up dirt, even when it's not real dirt. Put it to rest. Call for a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. Businesses, public figures, and professionals turn to Reputation.com for good reason. We protect your online image by helping make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Learn more about what the experts at Reputation.com can do for you. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Easy Organic Gardener. With me is the lovely Jessica Walliser. She's a horticulturalist, author, and a devoted bug lover. We are talking about the importance of beneficial insects in the garden. Hi, Jessica. Welcome back. So let's just talk about this loving of bugs. I mean, you know, we are so brainwashed to, at least in our society, to think that bugs are bad and to be afraid of them. And you know, how did you, with your background in horticulture, become so interested in them, and what made you find insects so fascinating?
Well, you know, like you, I was always sort of programmed, so to speak, that insects are bad. You know, you see the commercial on TV, and the lady sees a spider, and she screams and jumps up on the chair, you know, or there's, you know, these, you know, cartoonish-looking termites chomping on a house in some TV commercial, and they tell you, and you know, come, this guy's going to protect your house from the crunching termites. And so bugs have this really, really bad image. And it's a shame because it's really not deserved. But so how do you break out of that? And the best way, I think, is just educating people on really how helpful insects are to humans as a whole and definitely to gardeners. So the transition for me really came about, you know, I have a degree in horticulture. So my education in college in the early 90s about insects was essentially how to kill them and how to protect our crops from them. And they were all sort of viewed as a pest. And when I went from what I like to call my chemical dependency days, where I took care of about 35 gardens in and around the city of Pittsburgh, and I was a certified pesticide applicator, and I did a lot of spraying. And when I really started to do some reading and learning about the health issues involved with exposure to some of these chemicals, I decided to make the transition to organic. And in all that reading that I did, I really learned that involving beneficial predatory insect species in your gardening life is really good for the garden because it leads to a natural reduction in pests. So the more good bugs you have around, the less bad bugs you have around, and therefore the less pesticides that you need to tend to. So it became sort of this fascination for me, really, as I started to learn about all the interesting beneficial bug species out there, and started to learn photography, and it just became this whirlwind. And now when I garden and when I decide what to put in my landscape, I will go to the garden center, and instead of buying a plant just because it looks pretty, I ask myself, who is this going to benefit besides me? And those are the plants that I want to plant in the garden.
Well, that makes the most sense of all because, you know, you just getting out the door, you want to give yourself the best chance for success. So I do like that approach. And, you know, insects are amazing. I mean, when you start to look at them and just, you know, look, some of the pictures that you have in your book are just phenomenal. They're just beautiful, beautiful pictures. And I hope everybody gets a copy, Attracting Beneficial Bugs to Your Garden. It is really a beautiful book, and it's start to finish, so it's really everything that you know, or want to know, rather. But, you know, why do you think it's so important for gardeners to place value on the insects that they find in their garden?
Well, you know, in reality, less than 1% of the 1 million or so identified insect species on the planet, less than 1% of them are known to be agricultural or human pests. So it is a very small percentage of insects that cause us or our gardens any harm. You know, the vast majority of them do things like they decompose and help break down organic matter. They consume waste products. They consume, you know, dead animals and dead insects, or they're pollinators, or they're beneficial predators, or they're considered to be fairly benign, you know, to the gardener. If they're not good, at least they're benign. They don't really do anything in the garden that would affect its health at all. And I think that we need to really change the focus on insects in the garden. We need to stop focusing so much on battling the pests. We need to stop spending money and time and energy battling the pests. But we need to switch that focus over to encouraging the good insects. And, you know, putting our time and energy into considering what we can do to boost their numbers, which in turn will lead to a natural reduction in the pests without having to put too much time and energy into that. So I think it really is a mind shift, and it's starting. I'm starting to see it when I go out and lecture to garden groups. People are beginning, the beginning stages of that fascination that I am so involved in right now, that they're really starting to understand, oh, wow, these insects really have a role in my garden, and what can I do to encourage them?
Well, and as you say, they're not all bad. I mean, this small, small percentage of insects are the ones that under stressful conditions are the ones that can get in our way on occasion. What let's have you define your definition of what are beneficial insects versus what are the pests.
Yeah, so for me, I think beneficial insects fit in two different categories. They're the pollinators, which would be things like our native bee species, a lot of beetles, a lot of flies we talked about earlier, the wasps. Their main role in the garden is to pollinate. So that's one group of beneficial insects. That's not the one my book is about. There are tons of great books out there on attracting native pollinators and supporting native pollinators in the garden. The other group of beneficial insects are the group that my book is focused on, which are the predatory insects that go out into the garden. Like, let's take the ladybug as an example, or the praying mantid, right? They go out. Their role in the garden is to consume other insects. In many cases, those happen to be pests to the garden. So those predatory insects and then what we call the parasitoids. And those are the insects that use pest insects as hosts for their young. So parasitic wasps and tachinophytes are the two big groups of parasitic or parasitoidal insects in the garden. So that's how I usually split the category of beneficial insects into the pollinators and then the predators and parasitoids. And those two, I think, comprise beneficial insects as a whole.
That's a great way to define them. And, of course, you know, we grow them. We actually, in our industry, you say we rear insects.
Right.
So we actually rear parasitoid wasps, which are for biological fly control. And we actually rear generals, predators like green lacewing and assassin bugs. So we really have a deep understanding about how they work and why they're so important. And, you know, I always tell people there's really no such thing as a bad bug. They're all good bugs. They're all beneficial because, as you were saying, not only do they take care of other pests, other insect pests, when they use them as food or to rear their young, they are also food for other animals, lizards and birds and other insectivorous animals. So they're an important part of the food chain that in our country we don't admire very much, but in other parts of the world, insects are a vital part of the food that humans eat and apparently are very nutritious and good for us. We're going to take another quick little break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Jessica Walter some more about how to promote beneficial insects in the garden. We're going to talk a little bit about a book. So for those of you who are listening and are bug lovers, garden lovers, don't go away. We are coming right back.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Need help with pest control? Don't use synthetics. Grow naturally. The solution is Arbico Organics. They offer a complete line of products for your organic home, garden, yard, farm, horse, livestock, and pets. They're affordable, effective, and will provide the results you have been looking for. Go to www.arbico-organics.com or call 800-SOS-BUGS to speak with Arbico Organics specialists. Be sure to order your free Arbico Organics catalog.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe that's your only option. They've got hordes of salesmen out there trying to scare you into signing one of their long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month with no way out. It's robbery by contract, and it can cost you thousands. But there's a better way to protect your home. SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe has no contracts. None. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection. Security professionals watching over your home, ready to instantly send police to the rescue for just $14.99 per month. That's less than half what most companies charge. Protect your home the smart way. Visit SimpliSafeDefense.com today for an exclusive 10% offer and get a free keychain remote worth $25. Only when you go to SimpliSafeDefense.com. SimpliSafeDefense.com.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to The Easy Organic Gardener. This is your host, Sherry Herrera de Fry. My guest this hour is Jessica Walliser, author of Attracting Beneficial Bugs to Your Garden, A Natural Approach to Pest Control, also the author of A Gardener's Journal, Life with My Garden, Good Bug, Bad Bug, and co-author of Grow Organic. Her books are tops when it comes to gardening. Welcome back, Jessica.
Thank you, Sherry.
My gosh, you are so busy and doing so many things, and I'm just so honored to have you on the show again. Thank you so much for joining me. Your enthusiasm is infectious. We just love our bugs, don't we?
We do.
I have to laugh because night before last, I came in kind of late. We were working on our latest catalog, and there at the front door was a 6-inch grasshopper. It was red, it had red stripes on it and black stripes, and it was just gorgeous. I mean, most people would go, ooh. I was like, oh, honey, come look at this amazing grasshopper.
And if it was me, I would have run for the camera because that would be pretty unusual here in Pennsylvania.
So. I've never seen that particular species yet. You know, it's one of those things that maybe they just show up. I mean, there's a light, and, you know, insects, some of them are attracted by light. And so I don't know what he was doing there, but this was a big grasshopper. So normally I see the smaller ones, but I this was something unusual. And you're right, I should have just, if it hadn't been 11:30 at night, I probably would have gone out and got the camera. But I hadn't even had dinner, so we just closed the door and left it be. So anyway, let's talk about this whole, you talked a little bit about people needing to shift their thinking, you know, away from battling pests, promoting pests. You know, there's this whole consciousness that sort of came out of the leftovers from World War II, where we were using synthetics to kill people with, and they figured, well, if we just dilute a little bit, well, we can use it to kill insects. And somehow we went into battle not only just with insects but almost all of nature, where we stopped caring about the water and the air and habitat for other animals, and just sort of plowed our way the last 50 years through our environment. And now we sort of have a mess to pick up. And the way that we can, as you say, have a place to start, at least, is in our own backyards, in our own gardens, by promoting insects and growing our own food. So tell us a little bit about the research that you've done in your book, and what are some of the most fascinating things that you've learned while attracting beneficial insects to your garden? Tell us a little bit about that, and how do they work, and this predator-prey cycle that is so important.
Yeah, you know, I'm a research nerd. I really love, especially when it comes to insects, I really love to sort of go through all of, you know, the research that I can find on a particular insect. And thankfully with the internet, it's pretty easy to get a hold of these university research papers with the entomologists that are really, I mean, this is their life. They spend their whole life studying one species of parasitic wasp or something like that. And there's a huge disconnect between the horticultural community and the entomological community. And a lot of this research isn't making it into the hands of gardeners, because that disconnect is there. And so one of the reasons for the book, Attracting Beneficial Bugs, was so that it could sort of make at least a little bit of a walking bridge between those two worlds and really start to connect them. Because I think once gardeners realize the role that these insects play, then they're much more accepting of them in the landscape. And they don't view insects as public enemy number one. They view them as part of the ecosystem of the garden. And that is the first tick in the shift of thinking from going from insects are all bad to, hey, most insects are good. I think that's the first connection that needs to be made. But some of the most fascinating research that I discovered was that, one, they've done a lot of research that is showing that insects are capable of learning. Obviously, they haven't researched every insect, but what they were looking at in particular were some parasitic wasps. And how do they learn where their food is? How do they, learn to go back to the same place for food? Because it was previously thought that insects are not capable of learning, that it's instinctual or habitual. But in fact, they have learned that insects are capable of learning. If in a laboratory, if they always get the right kind of nectar from a yellow flower, and they learn that, then every time a yellow flower is offered, no matter what other color flower it's offered with, they'll always go to the yellow flower because they know they get a better nectar reward. Or they know if they go to a particular place that there's going to be resources available for them. They can actually learn to view your yard as a place where they can get what they need to survive, which is a very good thing because these insects are, for the most part, very good for the garden. So that was, number one, really interesting. Number two, the second most interesting thing I learned was that insects and plants communicate with each other, that there is a constant string of communication that we humans we didn't even know exists, but it's essentially the plants are constantly sending out what are called semiochemicals, which are these odors into the air that humans can't detect, but the sensitive antenna on an insect can, and they're signals to the insect world. For example, if your cabbage is being attacked by an imported cabbage worm, the cabbage plant may be releasing an SOS signal into the air. They call it HIPV, herbivore-induced plant volatile, or an odor into the air, that insects that like to prey on those cabbage worms pick up, and they come and then they prey on that caterpillar. So the plant itself is sending out an SOS signal to the insect world, and they're communicating back and forth, and this is happening all the time. And that's really, really fascinating. And that, to me, to gardeners, says you need to give plants time to let the insects know that there's a problem and let them come and help you manage the pest insects. So it's all about patience. Nothing in nature happens immediately overnight. We have to give the predators time to come to that plant and find those pests and naturally manage their populations. We don't automatically have to step in with some kind of spray. We need to let nature take its course.
You are a bug whisperer. You know what? I've been in this business for a long time. This is the first time I've ever heard of this, and I have known it intuitively. I talk about it all the time. I speak about it. For example, I'll say a plant that has been fertilized with a synthetic fertilizer, as it goes through the nitrification process, it actually exudes ammonia, which is a trigger for pests to come in and start, you know, there's an elongated cell structure, there's an ammonia odor that's given off, and it's like the signal for pests to come in. Hi, here I am, I'm weak, come and get me.
Right.
And I've talked about this for years, I mean, I'm talking almost decades now, but however, I never knew that there was actually something 100% scientific behind it.
Yeah.
That is so neat.
You know, you can't say 100% that all plants, exude these semiochemicals.
Right, right.
But the research is, and we've known this since the 1980s, the entomological community has known about HIPVs, herbivore-induced plant volatiles, and these semiochemicals since the 1980s. And yet, there's this disconnect between that community and the gardening community. And why do gardeners not know this? You know, why is this such groundbreaking news when we've known it since the 1980s? So there's a great chapter in the book, a great section where I interview Dr. Ian Chaplin, who is a research entomologist, and he's actually making synthetic HIPV.
Wow.
Synthetic alarm signals.
Jessica, I'm going to cut you off. Hold that. We're going to come right back and talk about that, because this is really interesting stuff. Those of you who are listening, I apologize. We're coming right back with the amazing Jessica Walliser. Don't go away.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, two of our top priorities are providing quality food at a reasonable price and protecting your security. When you call 800-700-2184, we will never record your phone call and never ask for your personal information, like how much food you have stored or where you keep it. We'll also never store your credit card information and email address on a computer. Your email address will never be shared or sold. We'll never limit the number of boxes you can purchase. We'll never use outside packers or use relabeled food from another company. Our meals are naturally high in fiber, carbs, and protein, and everything is packed with oxygen absorbers and Mylar pouches under our direct supervision at our plant in Oregon. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying directly from their producers in Oregon and then passing the savings on to you. Call 800-700-2184 and purchase our 30-day 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Visit our website, 30dayfoodsupply.com, or call 800-700-2184. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com at 800-700-2184.
Spend your life with Extendo Bite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out, as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendivite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Healthy elimination is essential to high energy, a cheerful mood, and prevention of disease. Some of the founders of our modern holistic health thinking state that disease begins in a toxic colon. A toxic intestinal tract is the foundation for virtually all degenerative disease, and a clean and well-moving intestinal tract is the foundation of health.
I just want to say that you folks have an amazing product. I've taken whey protein products for years, and I've never noticed results I have with your product. I've suffered with bouts of constipation most of my life. Within a few days of taking One World Whey, I noticed a dramatic change. Also, in the past 2 years, I've experienced symptoms associated with diabetes. I feel horrible when I've had too much sugar, and I've been getting the foot pain as well. But I've noticed in the past week or so, I'm not feeling bad anymore, and the foot pain is gone. I'm just finishing up a 5-pound tub I ordered and just got off the phone ordering more. I love your product. Thank you.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code Silver2015 for 30% off of your entire order and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Gardner, this is your host, Sherry Herrera de Fry. It's easy, EASY, environmentally and sustainably yours. My guest this hour is expert Jessica Walliser, author of Attracting Beneficial Bugs to Your Garden, A Natural Approach to Pest Control. In her book, she presents complex topics in easy to understand terms and can simplify the more difficult science for gardeners and homeowners. Her book is a must have. Welcome back, Jessica.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
Well, you know, whenever you're on the show, we just get going. We can't seem to stop. And I forget that I'm supposed to be looking at the time, and instead I'm listening and taking notes and having a great time, which I think is the best of what it's like to be on the radio. Let's talk a little bit about in this last segment of the show, because I know there are a lot of things we'd like to cover. But what are your favorite beneficial insects? What do they do for the garden? What tell us about, you know, what do you see that's going on? Where are some big pests that are coming up, and what should we be on the lookout for?
Well, you know, the ladybugs are probably, you know, they're the cover girl of beneficial insects. And there's over 350 species of ladybugs that are native to North America. And an awful lot of them are not red with black spots. They have all kinds of other coloration. There's yellow and orange and black and pink. And they have all different kinds of patterns. There's striped ones. There's ones with spots, ones with no spots, checkerboard patterns. And the diversity of ladybug species in this country is really, really great. The sad fact is, though, that many species are in decline, and some may even have gone extinct, and we haven't seen them in certain regions of the country, you know, for years. And it's really a shame. And so I know up at Cornell University, Dr. John Lucy is working on a project called the Lost Ladybug Project, where they're looking at why some of these native ladybug species are in such decline. Does it have anything to do with the Asian multicolored ladybug, whose population has exploded here in North America? And that's an introduced exotic species that's outcompeting our natives. So that's they're very charismatic insects that most people can relate to, most people can recognize. I love the work they do in the garden. They eat all kinds of soft body pests. I'm also a big fan of the parasitic wasp. You know, people hear the word wasp and they get panicked that it's going to sting them. These guys don't have stingers. Some of them are the size of a gnat. They're so tiny they can lay an egg in a single aphid. And they do a great job of controlling hundreds of species of pest caterpillars, aphids, and other soft-bodied insects. And the way that they find their prey in the garden is goes back to those chemical signals that plants release. And the science and the research behind them is really, really cool. You know, like you said, I could just go on and on. I mean, there are, you know, lacewings and even fireflies, dragonflies. They all play a really important role in the ecosystem of our garden, and they really should be encouraged.
Well, I certainly love them. I was in Chicago about a month ago, and I was just having so much fun with fireflies because we have them in Arizona, but not at the latitude and longitude and altitude where I live. And so it was so fun just to see those guys flying around. And, you know, I was so fortunate to grow up in the tropics. I was 9 degrees from the equator in the country of Panama. And, of course, everywhere you look for insects, beautiful things all the time. And we just took it for granted. And so when we moved to the United States, it was obviously a much different habitat, and you didn't get to see them as much. But you're right, these ladybird beetles, people don't realize how important they are, and that they are not just red with black spots. They're all different types, sizes, and shapes of them. And those wasps, they're called wasps because they're in the Hymenopteran family, and those few that do sting people, you know, like the yellow jackets, those guys are in that same category. However, the vast majority of them, as you say, they're not going to hurt people. Their main reason for being is that they lay their eggs. The females lay their eggs inside generally the pupa or the larva of another insect. So let's talk about, you know, some of the things that are dear to your heart. This whole situation with attracting and supporting these healthy populations of beneficials, and also the idea of which we touched on briefly, which, of course, has been getting most of the exposure lately, is the honeybees and other pollinators. What can people do to stimulate the habitat for pollinators and for honeybees in their own gardens? This is something that I know you've written about, and we'd like to hear your approach.
Yeah, well, there's essentially three things that we can do to promote beneficial insects. And earlier I talked about the two groups of beneficial insects, which would be the pollinators, and then the other group are the parasitoids and the predators. So under that umbrella of beneficial insects, the three things that we can do is, number one, eliminate pesticides. Because in many cases, the beneficial insects in both groups are harmed more than the pest insects are by the application of pesticides. And that includes certainly synthetic pesticides, but also certain organic ones as well can be harmful to these good insects. So we want to eliminate them altogether. Let the garden come back into its own natural balance, where the good bugs are naturally keeping bad bug populations down. So that's the first thing. Second thing would be, obviously, to create habitat for them. So this goes back to nectar sources. It goes back to allowing your garden to have some pests so that the parasitoids and predators have somebody to eat when they show up. You know, the nectar sources are so important because most beneficial insects require nectar and pollen at some stage in their life, usually as an adult. So let's say, for example, those ladybugs we were talking about as adults, not only do they eat aphids, but they also eat pollen. In fact, they need pollen in order to be able to reproduce. Some species do. So we need to have lots of diversity in our gardens of flowering plants so don't just plant a big swath of all one kind of plant. Let's get different flower colors, different sizes, different bloom times, different architecture to the flowers. As much diversity as we can have, the more insects that we're going to be able to support. And the third thing that we all need to do is worry about year-round habitat. So we're not just talking about having things when they're in bloom, but we're also talking about having things here in the east in the winter when we, you know, when the garden, there's no nectar there. But guess what? These insects still need a place to overwinter. They need some place to shelter. So when we clean up every leaf that falls off of every tree and we cut our gardens down to the ground in the fall, we are eliminating overwintering sites for our native bees, for all of these beneficial insects, for all of these parasitoids. They need little hollow stems to go in the winter. They need leaf litter to hide under. So stop cleaning up your gardens in the fall and do your cleanups in the spring so that these insects can overwinter. So those are my three big things to do to promote beneficial insects in the garden.
I really appreciate you asking our listeners to not go through that cleanup process. Somewhere along the line, somebody made a decision that this is what you should do, and, you know, we've got to keep everything tidy and somehow, very manicured, and then that sort of, it might have looked better by some people's standards. On the other hand, it certainly had a major effect on those good bugs that were overwintering, so I really appreciate you saying that. When you were writing your book, what were some of the most fascinating things that you've learned about insects? There must have been some interesting things out there.
Yeah, one of the most interesting to me was being able to communicate with these entomologists from around North America, where they literally let me into their lab to talk about the research that they're doing. And it's really, really fascinating stuff. At Oregon State University, Gwendolyn Ellen is working on a beetle bank project. And beetle banks are very common in Europe and in Australia. And what they are is they are a habitat that's created in farms and in gardens that is particularly attractive to ground beetles. And ground beetles are great predators of snails and slugs, so you can imagine in the Pacific Northwest how valuable they can be. And they're essentially raised berms of soil that are planted with our native bunch grasses, or whichever bunch grasses are native in your region. And it's meant to be permanent habitat. These ground beetles will take shelter in those grasses during the day, and then at night they come out and they scour the fields and your garden for all types of different kinds of pests. And there are tens of thousands of species of them here in North America, of ground beetles, and they do a great, great job. So it was great for me to learn about some of these research projects that are taking place that are all about ways that we as home gardeners can encourage these insects in the garden.
That's what it's about, encouraging the insects. Thank you so much for being with me on the show again, Jessica. Those of you who are listening, we'll be back next week.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicSource.com.
Need help with pest control? Don't use synthetics. Grow naturally. The solution is Arbico Organics. They offer a complete line of products for your organic home, garden, yard, farm, horse, livestock, and pets. They're affordable, effective, and will provide the results you have been looking for. Go to www.arbico-organics.com or call 800-SOS-BUGS to speak with Arbico Organics specialists. Be sure to order your free Arbico Organics catalog.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.